Good evening, everyone. It's been such a blessing to be here. I'm trying to get to know more of you, and in a way, it's not fair. You're getting to know a whole lot more of me than I am of you, but the whole burden is that we would know more of God. Amen. May we encourage each other that way this evening. We certainly greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was told, I hear there may be a storm coming this evening, and so we'll try to honor that warning. I was just thinking of Elijah, you know, when God was not in the wind, and he was not in the fire, and he was in that still small voice. And you know, that still small voice, just the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that gentle wooing, I do believe that it's here tonight, and regardless of the storms that may come, may it not drown out that still small voice that draws men unto Him. I just got a phone call from my son-in-law tonight from Turkey at Gaziantep. They just arrived, and you know, that's in a land where preaching Jesus Christ is forbidden. But I just encouraged him. You know, Claire, just think of the excitement that the gospel could reach some soul that you crosses your path just because you're there. Just look for the opportunities. And so that's over there. But for someone here, there may be that opportunity, you know, to meet with God in a new way. And so May we be listening for that still small voice this evening. We have such a desire in our heart to be faithful in God's kingdom that we would be all that He wants us to be, all that He has made provision for us to be. And when we do that, it just brings Him glory. And I believe as we walk with God, that we need to continually examine our heart. We need self-examination of our life continually because it seems like the flesh is always rising up. Are we together in that? I think we're all pretty much alike in that. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so we want to be sensitive to that Holy Spirit within us so that we can be all that He wants us to be. For a title for the message this evening, I would like to write it up here on the board. I'm going to write a couple of words here that I think are very special. They're in the Bible, chosen and ordained. I was just thinking about these words. These are words of Jesus when He was speaking to the people, and I believe these words are for each one of us this evening. And Jesus, He actually said, I have chosen you and have ordained you. And then He said, to bring forth fruit. And so I would like for that to be our title this evening. To bring forth fruit. Chosen and ordained to bring forth fruit. You know, I've always known that, you know, the people of God need to be a fruitful people to bear fruit, but I had kind of forgotten that it said it quite that strong, that we are chosen and ordained to bring forth fruit. I was just thinking, you know, it's pretty special to be chosen, isn't it? We've probably all been chosen for something at some time. Maybe it was even at a ball game, you know, where there were captain's choosing, and your name was called out, and that's kind of special. Or maybe it was in a capacity, you know, to serve, and your name, you were chosen, and it landed on you, and that's special. And maybe it's in marriage. I was just thinking, you know, some of you young sisters here, you know, when a young man chooses you, that's really special. But in choosing, when you choose someone, you're choosing them for what they are. the gifts that God has given them, the personality that God has given them, the talents that they have. You chose them. You know what they are and you chose them. But ordained is actually even more than that. We are chosen of God, but we are ordained. Ordained means there's been an outpouring of grace upon your life even more than the gifts and the talents that you have. There is an extra grace. There's a greater strength. There's a deeper trust. There's authority given that you really didn't have before. This is really an amazing word. I think about what Paul said to Timothy when he said to him, he said, Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. In other words, Timothy, you got a gift that was given you by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery, a gift you didn't have before. You are better equipped. You have been given provision to fulfill a calling. And so I want us each to realize that we have been chosen and ordained to bring forth fruit. God has given us all the provision that our life would be a fruitful life. We would be a fruit-bearing people that would bring glory to His name. And I was just thinking, you know, just to put a little emphasis on that, I'm just going to put this down here. It's not really part of the title, but I'm just going to write, if I wrote this, so that God will answer all your prayers. Wouldn't that be an exciting thing to add here? I mean, it's one thing to bring forth fruit, but it's another thing to have all your prayers answered. Amen? I mean, what a witness. What encouragement. I don't know anything in the kingdom of God that is more encouraging than answered prayer. Nothing that I know of makes God more real than when God moves in our behalf in a plea and a petition that we have lifted up before Him. Now, I didn't just make this up. This is scripture. I wrote it in green, but it's written in red. Chosen and ordained to bring forth fruit so that God will answer all your prayers. We're going to look at that scripture tonight. And so I trust it'd be a blessing. We want to focus on bearing fruit, being a fruitful people. We want to consider bearing much fruit, and we want to examine the fruit of our lives this evening. What kind of fruit is my life producing in everyday life? That's the examination that we want to look at in our own life before God. If I were a fruit tree, what would my fruit look like? What would it taste like? Would it be attractive? Would it be attractive but taste bitter? Or would it be sweet and refreshing? You know, sometimes it's good to let other people examine the fruit of our life and then let them speak into our life. You know, many times we don't like to do that. That sounds a little scary, but there's wisdom in that, because many times we have blind spots. Have any of you ever experienced that? That, you know, you thought you were doing better than other people thought that you were? Well, I've been told that there are three ways that you can see yourself. The first way is the way you see yourself. And I've been told that that's probably the least accurate. But that's very real in our heart, the way we see ourselves. The second way is the way other people see you. And that's usually a little bit more accurate. The third way is the way God sees us. And I'll just tell you tonight, that's the only one that counts. And so we want to examine the fruit of our life tonight in light of what God thinks. And so we need to be honest here this evening. If others see some need in our life by looking at the fruit that we are bearing, if they see some bitterness, maybe some withering, we can't just declare that, no, My fruit is good and sweet because I'm in Christ. Because I have a testimony. But I want to remind us tonight what Jesus said. Jesus did not say, by their testimony you will know them. What did he say? He said, by their fruit you will know them. And so to examine the fruit of our life is to see who we really are. That's the words of Jesus. And I trust it'll be a blessing tonight. I believe that's why David said, search me, O God. I want to go on your opinion and know my heart. Try me. You try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Look at my fruit and lead me in the way everlasting. That's the burden that we have this evening as we examine our fruit before God. And I want to say that as we examine our fruit, let's not look at the situation of our life that we are in. Let's not try to get special recognition or allowance for the kind of fruit we're bearing because of our situation, or justify maybe a little bit of withering in our fruit because of our circumstance. I think tonight God would have us look beyond our situation and examine the fruit. Sometimes the situation we're in really is what it takes to reveal the kind of fruit that we are bearing. So what does God see when he looks at my life? I want to say something here, spend a little bit of time here. I want to say when we examine fruit of our life or of someone else's life, you are not looking at the heart. Fruit is on the outside. The heart is on the inside. But the scriptures make it very clear. They are connected. And so when you look at the fruit of someone's life, you're learning everything there is to learn about what's in their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what does the mouth speak? It speaks words. Words are an outward thing. They come out, but where did they come from? Right out of the abundance of the heart. And so when we examine fruit, you know, many people say, well, I know my fruit is withered, but I have a good heart. Or I've heard people say, you know, there's some problems here in his life, but I think he has a good heart. I just want to very carefully tell us tonight, that's not scriptural. Because by their fruits, you will know them. We want to connect the fruit with what is in the heart. We are living in an age when many people declare, much of Christianity declares, that you cannot judge me by the outside. And that's not really the teachings of Jesus. I think we shouldn't be afraid to make some judgments on the outside. Because Jesus told us, that's how you know what a person is made of. And so let's not be afraid of this thing. And many people say, well, we can't judge. Could I just say a few words about that? I don't think that's scriptural either. I know that the Word of God says that judge not, that ye be not judged. But that's just, you know, a hypocrite trying to make some judgment. If you read the same passage, it says, get the beam or the mote out of your eye so that you can judge righteous judgment. We are encouraged in Scripture to judge righteous judgment. And righteous judgment puts a lot of emphasis on fruit from the outside. That's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to honor that this evening. I want to just say this in addition to that, that when you look at someone, you can't see their heart, but you know what's in there because the fruit is just on display on the outside saying this is what's on the inside. And so it comes out in clothing. It comes out in modesty. It comes out in the countenance on the face. I mean, that's an outward thing, amen? But the countenance on the outside of the face is just a manifestation of what is in the heart. You know, I've seen, it's amazing to me. I've seen people who had the joy of the Lord in their heart, and there was some situation where the tears would flow, but there was a peaceful countenance in the midst of those tears. And I've seen people who were miserable in their heart, and even though they were laughing, there was just a painful countenance. Have you noticed that? And it's because the outside reveals what is on the inside. You know, King Saul, he tried to, you know, turn that thing around. What did King Saul say when he came back, you know, from battle? He told Samuel, he said, "I have performed the commandment of the Lord." That sounded pretty good. But, you know, Samuel wouldn't listen. And God wouldn't either. He did listen, but not to his words. He said, "Then what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears?" And so I'm just saying all of that to encourage us to be honest tonight. If we have some challenges on the outside, if we have some challenges and some needs that are showing up, let's not declare that everything's fine. We have a burden tonight that we would have a vibrant prayer life. And if our fruit is withered and things on the outside are not right, I challenge us. You know, where are we at in prayer with the living God? Our God is a prayer-answering God. That's His testimony. But He doesn't just answer every prayer because it's prayed. There's a foundation. There's fruit to be born. So I want to encourage us tonight. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. I want to take a look here. At the teaching of Jesus. I want to read a parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. I want to read this parable. Now I want to take a look at it. Jesus spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. This is a serious thing. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Now I want us to think about this fig tree. This fig tree, it said a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. I want us to know tonight, this is a favored fig tree. It is planted in a choice place. It is planted in a place of protection. It's planted in the master's garden. It's planted in a place with a wonderful husbandman who knows how to take care of trees and produce fruit. That's a tremendous blessing. It's planted in good soil. This is a favored fig tree. If any fig tree is going to bear figs, surely this tree will bear fruit. Now I want to challenge us tonight. I want to challenge everyone here. I want you to know, each one of you are a favored fig tree. There are people all over this world. We have no comprehension of how they live. They're not planted in a favored place. They're not planted in good soil. They don't have a husbandman to watch over them and teach them and guide them. They don't even have anyone to pray for them. They're kind of on their own. I don't understand the reasons why of all of that, but I know that we are a favored fig tree. And if anyone should be bearing fruit, fruitful in the kingdom of God, it's us. We have someone to watch over us. We have good pastors. We have godly fellowship. We have the Word of God. We have discipleship. We have teaching. We have liberty in this land. We're in good soil. We are a favored fig tree. This husbandman, I think about a husbandman that knows how to work with trees. I kind of come from a line of, my wife, I should say, comes from a line of husbandmen. I always marvel at some of the background that they have. Her father, we go visit them in Virginia, and we drive in that lane, and there's some grapevines growing there and peach trees beside the lane. And my wife's father, he can get more big grapes off of a grapevine. It's just, I marvel. It's just amazing. But some people just have that touch. And her grandfather, Grandpa Grover, I know we mentioned this to Craig and Diane the other night. I think he remembers Grandpa Grover. He had a little family orchard there on Hatch Road, and he had all kinds of trees. And he would produce fruit from these trees, and he would put that fruit on a little cart out front, and people would just come and they would just buy Grandpa's fruit. Grandpa really got rich on his little family orchard right there. Fact is, Grandpa, he knew how to do more than produce fruit. He knew how to graft, and he knew how to make it grow. And Grandpa had read about that tree there in Revelation by the river of life coming out. I think it says it bore 12 manner of fruit. And my grandpa wanted a tree that would have 12 manner of fruit on it. And so he started grafting it in, and he started with a peach tree, and he added an almond limb, and that thing grew almonds, and he added another limb, and it grew plums, and he had apricots and nectarines and figs. And I'm not sure, I called my wife's father the other day. I said, did Grandpa ever get 12 kinds of fruit? He said, I'm not sure he ever got 12, but he was working at it. Even in peaches, he started putting in different varieties, you know, clings and freestones, and this was quite a tree. It was right there by the driveway as you drive in, and in the spring the thing would bloom, you know, and almonds bloom white, peaches bloom pink, and apricots bloom, and plums bloom purple. It was quite a tree. But I was just thinking, you know, if you had a family orchard or you had a fruit tree, wouldn't you want Grandpa Grover to take care of it? I mean, you know that the thing would produce as much as was possible to produce. And this fig tree here had it. This was a favored fig tree. And that's the way each of us are this evening. We live in a favored land. We've been taught from little up the goodness of God. And Jesus came to this fig tree seeking fruit. He came to this favored fig tree. He came to this chosen and ordained fig tree. He came seeking fruit. He knew it was watered. He knew it was nourished. He knew it was cared for. And our Lord is such a patient Lord. He works with people. He came the first year and there was no fruit. And he's patient. God works with people. He came back the second year and there was no fruit. He came back the third year, and there was no fruit. And I just want to reveal to you, I think Jesus is teaching here the principle coming from his heart, from the heart of God, considering what happens when we don't bear fruit. He came to this favored fig tree, this chosen and ordained fig tree, looking for fruit. And the third year, he works with people, he's patient. But there is a point where, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? That's a fearful statement to me. I tremble before God, and I know that God is patient. You know, and here's this vine dresser pleading for another year. Just let me dig about it and dung it, and then if it don't bear fruit, okay. But I want us to know that God is serious about us bearing fruit. Many people today, even in the Christian world, teach that, you know, yes, we need to bear fruit, but even if you don't, your seed remaineth in you, and don't worry about it. But I tell you, I read these parables and I say, I'm not so sure about that. When God has made provision, God has given us everything that we need to be a fruitful people. And if all we do is struggle, if all we do is struggle to forgive, struggle with our marriages, can't connect with our children, we're not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we don't speak to other people, that's not a picture of the kingdom of God that we've been trying to press into. I mean, this kingdom isn't a struggling kingdom to make it. This is a kingdom of Lazarus, come forth. This is a kingdom of rise, take up your bed and walk. This is a kingdom of loving our wives like Christ loved the church. This is a kingdom of answered prayer. This is God's heart for his people. No fruit? I mean, this is a serious thing before God when he has poured out himself. Think of all that he has done. I mean, he gave us the grace to be born again. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. The love of God, all the fullness of God dwelling within. No fruit? Think about the seriousness of no fruit compared to the provision that God has made. And so you've had mercy the first year. You had mercy the second year. You had mercy the third year. And sometimes we interpret that God's merciful. We're going to have mercy the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10 year. There's mercy. But I want you to know tonight, there is a point where the Lord says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And so may God wake us up this evening. So I want to consider two questions here this evening. I want to consider, how serious is God that we bear fruit? How flexible is he? And the second thing, what is the fruit that God is looking for? He came looking for fruit. So what is the fruit that he's looking for him? I think we can learn from the parable that we read that God is very serious about us bearing fruit. He didn't just come to check up and see how the tree itself was doing. That's not what Jesus came back to see. He didn't come to see how big it was or how flourishing it had become. He didn't come back to check out his root system. He didn't come back to make sure, that it was at least still in his garden. There's more than just being in the right church. We need to be bearing fruit. And I'm not speaking against the church when I say that. I'm speaking the heart of pastors, that we would have churches full of fruit-bearing people. He came with a single eye, looking for fruit, because he knows, by their fruits ye shall know them. I want you to picture yourself this evening as a fig tree in this vineyard, the favored fig tree, and the Lord coming up to you and examining you, looking for fruit. And you might know that your fruit's a little bit shriveled, a little bit withered, and you might be standing there thinking, I hope he looks at my rootstock. I know I'm on good rootstock. I hope he takes notice of the fact that I'm here, right where he planted me. But he doesn't look for any of those things, because by their fruits you shall know them. He's not impressed with how big a tree you are. Out in California, we raised almonds. You might say almonds here, but whatever. It was those trees that we raised, and there was a certain variety called Missions. And there was among the Missions, and they were very heavily bearing trees. It was always encouraging to see all the way their limbs would just hang down, with all the fruit that they were producing. But there was also a tree called a Bull Mission. And it was a tree that didn't bear much fruit, but it would grow. It was
I remember seeing some of those Bull Mission leaves. They were almost three times as big as the fruit-bearing, producing mission trees. And they were big, and the birds of the air loved them. But what did the farmers do with them? Just think, we know what they did. It was always, cut it down. I can't farm trees that don't produce. I can't keep fertilizing this tree. I can't keep irrigating this tree. I can't keep pouring, you know, all the provision to produce fruit into this tree when it doesn't produce fruit. And they cut it down. And yes, it was good firewood, lots of it, but no fruit. Let's turn to John chapter 15. There's another passage of scripture here concerning fruit, and I would like to read here. This is a little different analogy about fruit. You know, here, you know, we are no longer the tree like we were in the parable that Jesus gave. Here, Jesus Christ is the vine. And we are the branches. We are in Him. He is the vine. We are the branches. It's a little bit more of an intimate picture. And, you know, the vine dresser, you know, it's God Himself. God is the husbandman here. And so this is a little bit more of an intimate picture, but the focus is exactly the same. He wants fruit. It's just interesting how the focus does not change. I want to read here a few verses. John 15 in verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, look how serious this is, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it or pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Look at what the teaching is saying here. We can't bear fruit of ourselves, but God has made full provision. We are in Him. He's saying, if you're in me, if you're connected to the vine, if you're a branch in the vine, you will bear fruit, not of yourself, but you're in the vine. I am the vine, Jesus said. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done for you. Look at the connection there between bringing forth fruit and prayers being answered. That's very interesting to me. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now I want to think for just a minute here in verse 6. Jesus makes it very clear. Brothers and sisters, youth, if we don't bear fruit, we are cast forth as a branch and withered and gathered and cast into the fire, and they are burned. I want you to know that there are different kinds of fire in the scriptures. There are purifying fire, a cleansing fire, and there's a destroying fire. There's a consuming fire. And this here is a destroying fire. You know, you read about in Malachi 3 where Jesus sits as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he purifies the sons of Levi so that they could bring forth an offering acceptable unto God. That's a purifying fire, but that's not what this is. When there is no fruit, it's a destroying fire. A cleansing fire is more like we read about in Luke chapter 13, when the husbandman there pled with the Lord and said, you know, let me dig it about and dung it. That's to preserve it and to save it and to do everything that we can to bring it to perfection, to bring it to production. And if that doesn't work, then there's a point where there is a destroying fire. And I rejoice in the story there in Luke 13 that the husbandman pled for another year. You know, I feel like that's kind of where I came in there. Life got hard. Life got challenging. And I felt like I was digged about and dunged. I'll just tell you, things didn't go well. And we don't like it when we are digged about and dunged. That doesn't go down too well. But I tell you, it's the mercy of God upon us trying to bring us to production, trying to bring our fruit to perfection. When we're digged about and dunged, let's not get bitter. Let's not turn away. Let's not ask questions like, who do you think you are doing this to me? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They're the messenger of God, digging about us and dunging us to bring us to production. God moves that way among his people. In Hosea chapter 14, verse 8, the Lord says in the word there, God says, from me is thy fruit found. That's just a beautiful passage. I love that little verse there. From me is thy fruit found. But I want to look here in verse 16. Verse 16 is where we get our title. It's just this verse right here. Let's look at verse 16. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, I kind of put this up here in my own words, but wouldn't you say it's pretty close? I mean, there's a call to bear fruit here, so that whatever we ask the Father in his name, he may give it unto us. And then he goes on, you know, these things I command you, that you love one another. And we want to be faithful. We have a burden tonight that we would be a fruitful people, and also a people that when we pray, God moves. God wants it that way. I think so often we underestimate the power and the value of prayer. But when it's connected so much to fruit, I just wanted to bring this evening, let's examine our hearts to see what kind of fruit we are producing. I want to turn here and read a couple of scriptures. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I just want to read here verses 16 through 20. These just strengthen us in some of the things that we've been reading. Jesus said here, 7:16 of Matthew, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And what he's saying here is it's impossible to separate what's on the outside from what's on the inside. He's just saying it's impossible for a bad heart to produce good fruit. And the other way as well. It's impossible for a good heart, you know, to consistently produce bad fruit. I'm not saying everything is perfection, but this is the teaching of Jesus. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. That's what we've been reading this evening. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. In Matthew chapter 12, a couple pages over here, in verse 33, beginning to read there. Either make the tree good and his fruit good. In other words, make the heart good and the outside good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You can't separate what comes out from what is on the inside. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And how can that be? It's because words are an outward thing. And they come right out of the heart. And if the words that come out are anger, if they're impatient, brothers and sisters, that's no fruit. God brings judgment there. Fruit will never rise above the condition of the heart. And a heart is never any better than the condition of the fruit. And we've heard this said, and it's so true. You don't fix fruit, bad fruit or no fruit. You can't fix it by dealing with fruit. You must deal with the heart. That's why the husbandman knew that. When there was no fruit on this fig tree, what did he say? You know, let me work on the fruit? No, he said, let me dig it about and dung it. That's working with the heart. It's working with the roots. Let me work on the heart and see if I can get some fruit. And so we need to be honest tonight. If the fruit of our life is not right, we need to take a look at our heart. Jesus said, first cleanse the inside of the cup that the outside may be clean also. But how do you know you need to clean the inside first? It's because first you looked at the outside and you saw that there was need. But don't clean that first. First clean the inside of the cup. Deal with the heart that the outside may be clean also. Now I want to move on to another question. And I want to put this before us very carefully. But what is the fruit that God is looking for? I think this is a question that has long been discussed and considered by faithful hearts. But I'm going to give you tonight what I believe is a very simple answer. I believe it's an answer very close to the heart of God. God, who wants fruit out of our life, when we are a child of God, in Christ, in Him, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, when we have salvation in our heart and soul, when the anointing of God is upon us, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the fruit of our life is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. Think of it. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's why it's called that, because it's the fruit of the Spirit dwelling within. And it works itself out in many different ways, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit God is looking for is not success in business. That's not going to be too impressive. The fruit He's looking for is not to look young when you're old, like so many millions of dollars are being spent in America for that very thing. And it's fruitless, I'm going to say. And I look at the life of Noah. You know, Noah didn't really have any converts. I mean, he had his family, praise God. But Noah preached 120 years. And we've heard it said that fruit is bringing souls into the kingdom of God. And I don't want to minimize that. In fact, I want to say a little bit more about that in just a minute, because we want our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But are you going to say that Noah didn't have any fruit in his life? That doesn't sound right to me, so I want to be careful with that. when a soul comes to the Lord, no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. Amen. I mean, we know that's true. That is clear teaching from the Lord. And so that's his fruit. And let's give him glory. I've always been a little nervous when I hear people tell about how many people they have led to the Lord. And it seems like the credit should be God, because no man cometh unto the Father, but the Father draw him. And now God uses us, and this is fruit. We can witness, we can testify, we can share our testimony, we can disciple, we can minister to the souls in prison, we can minister to neighbors and friends, we can go to the mission field. This is all fruit. But when a soul comes to God, that's his fruit. That's the way I see it. I want to put that out for your consideration, so that God gets all the glory. We're just workers in his vineyard. And when we've done everything that we can do, we're just unprofitable servants. We want to make sure that God has the glory. But when our life is overflowing with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, you know, it says there's no law against these things in any land. And these are powerful things. These things draw people into the kingdom. They do, and it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling within. And it's attractive to the world around us. Much of the world doesn't know anything about those things. I want to tell you a little story that's pretty special to me. We have a sister who lived in our community, and she was just a blessing. She just had the fruit of the Spirit. Just seemed like it would just come out everywhere, and she was just a joy to be around. And she was helping her family make a living there. She was selling some bread in town, and the bread was for sale, and different people would come and buy. And there was this young man who came, and he had long hair, and he was kind of a, in my era, we would say a hippie-type looking fella. And he came, and he saw this bread, and he bought some bread. And this sister of ours was there, and she just had a bright countenance, and she greeted him with a good day and a hello, and are you having a good day? And, no, he said, it's a tough day. Oh, she said, I'm so sorry. You know, and she didn't want to probe too deep, but she showed tremendous sympathy, you know, to him, and he made a few downcast statements, and she just tried to encourage him, and he bought his bread and went his way, and, you know, he came back the next day, and he walked up there to her, and he said, would you marry me? I just see that as a beautiful thing. I see this. I don't hold that against that young man, and she wasn't about to do it, and I bless God for that too, but it was just amazing how he was drawn to her. And I'm not sure that the fruit is what he was drawn to. There was a witness there. There was a testimony of something he had known. And it was attractive to him. I want to encourage us. When we produce fruit, when we produce these beautiful things in hard situations, I tell you, we don't want to let our situation damage our fruit. Actually, when a situation gets tough, that's when we have an opportunity that our fruit would even shine forth more brightly in beauty to a world that would normally respond in anger or bitterness or revenge even. But when they see blessing and cursing not, and joy in doing it, and a peace in the midst of the storm, that's a marvelous witness. And I believe that's what God wants in his people as we testify. And I don't think God wants us just to sit down and with a big grin on our face and think we're putting joy out there. I believe we need to testify the gospel of salvation to lost souls, but in a way that the fruit of the Spirit comes out. It's a beautiful witness. And if it's not there, when God has made full provision, there's a point. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And so I think it's a serious thing, brothers and sisters, when our life brings forth fruit. We've been chosen. We've been ordained to bring forth fruit so that God will answer our prayers. That's what it said. That God would, I can't quote it now, but that he would grant us all that we ask of him. That's a marvelous thing. I want to encourage us tonight to bear fruit. When our marriages struggle, that's no fruit. That's letting the situation be bigger than the Spirit of God within you. Does that sound right? That the situation would ever be bigger than the Spirit of God within us? When we struggle to forgive, that's no fruit. When we can't suffer long, when we feel some revenge, that's no fruit. And the Lord sees that. When our faith is weak, when we have no burden for the lost, when our life manifests a selfish motivation and drive to get all I can for me, that is no fruit. Cut it down. That's not what God saved us to do. If we react and we're not gentle, we're not meek when the trials of life hit, that's no fruit. It's time to dig us about and dung us. And it's the mercy of God that that can happen. And when it does, that's okay. It's just a call to repentance and to take heed to the provision, to the ordaining, to the outpouring, the extra gifts that God has given to produce fruit. I'm going to close here, but I want to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. There's a list here. This is where it talks about add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and all of these things. And this list here is very similar to the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to notice that we're talking about fruit here. Five of these things that are mentioned here are the same as the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to begin reading here in verse 4. It says that there's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so here comes the fruit. It says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We just see the fruit of the Spirit right here. And then the following verses refer to this fruit as these things. And I want you to notice how important these things are. Verse 8 says, for if these things, this fruit here, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. When these things are in you and abound, you are fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, this fruit, if there's no fruit here, he is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, this fruitful life, this fruit bearing, when it's a part of us, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And we had a message Monday night about pressing in to the kingdom of God and just a continual emphasis on pressing in. But look here in verse 11 about this entrance into the kingdom of God. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't look here like it's all that hard to get in. When we bear fruit, when these things are coming forth from our life, it doesn't just say that there's an entrance administered unto us. It says there's an entrance ministered unto you. It's like, come, when the fruit comes forth, doors open, opportunities open, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Look how important fruit bearing is here. It just keeps referring back to it. I want to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And he's talking about these things. That's what he says. I'm going to put you always in remembrance of these things in verse 12. And Paul knew that the time was coming when he was going to be taken, when his life was coming to an end. Paul knew, but he had a burden. Let's read what his burden is here. Paul says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. There's a burden on the heart of the Apostle Paul as he was departing this life. He taught them, by these things ye shall never fall. And if you lack these things, you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. He puts tremendous emphasis here. And now he says, after my decease, I want you to have these things always in remembrance. I want to leave us with that kind of emphasis here, that God has chosen us. He has ordained each one of us to bring forth fruit so that God will answer our prayers. I want to turn back and just read that verse in John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's our desire. That's our desire for each one of you. May God have his way this evening. Our desire is to be an encouragement. Brothers and sisters, you are a favored fig tree. If anyone should be bearing fruit, if anyone should have a testimony, it is us. May God convict our hearts to be a fruitful people. God bless you.